Welcome to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. A review. What happened on our morning show? Weekday mornings, 5:30 to 10 over on Planet 93.9. I'm Dave, and he's Darren. Hey, Darren.
Hello. This podcast is brought to you by the good people at Nature's Treatment. They've got two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. The Milan store offers both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, and edibles.
Here it is.
Number one.
Number one.
Nobody gets the newspaper anymore, right? You don't spend as much time looking at the paper. When's the last time you actually held a newspaper in your hands and leafed through it?
Been a couple of years, I guess.
Right? One of the things I think I miss most about the papers would be the first thing that I would go to, and that would be the funny pages. Tomorrow, the newspapers are going to look a little different because all of the comic strip artists have decided to get on board with this idea. You're going to notice tomorrow when you look at the funny pages, the comic strips, if you're someone who still looks at comic strips, you're going to notice something a little off tomorrow, and that's going to be none of the characters will be wearing pants. It's no pants day tomorrow. And 25 cartoonists behind strips from Blondie to Zippy the Pinhead.
Blondie's not going to have any pants on, huh?
It'll be Dagwood, right? We're not going to see a pantsless Blondie. God don't love us that much. Wow, this Blondie took a turn.
Nancy doesn't have any pants on. Wow. That is a very natural look she's got going there.
Wow. Wow. Not a slave to convention, that one.
No. No, that's kind of a retro look, Nancy.
Now.
Wow.
Jiminy creamy. It's like she's got Don King in a figure four. They are doing this No Pants Day. All of the cartoonists, No Pants Day, May 7th. It's always, I guess, May. The first Friday in May is always No Pants Day.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
How are we celebrating?
I will wear pants, I promise.
For hot pants?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. Participating artists will be drawing all of their characters in the comics without trousers, urging readers to donate clothing to thrift and secondhand stores that have been hard hit by COVID-19.
Okay, I can do that.
This is Taya Faunger is the comics editor at King Feature Syndicate. Taya says this was a great way to help bring communities together, but also have a little bit of a laugh. Just the idea of No Pants Day, I think, is something that everybody can feel a little closer to this year than in previous years. This was something that started at the University of Texas, the idea of a No Pants Day. A group of kids at the University of Texas thought leaving pants at home on the first Friday in May would be a fun way to end the semester.
And get arrested.
There's a winter spinoff called No Pants Subway Ride. Comics creators noticed that the COVID-19 pandemic affected people's ability to get clothing, and charities have not gotten as many donations as they normally do. So King Features reached out to their fellow syndicators, the Tribune Content Agency, Andrews McMeel Universal, and Washington Post Writers Group to pull off this event tomorrow. Quote, "We may be business competitors, but we're all part of the same family. We all love comics, and we love our communities, and at the end of the day, that's what really cartooning is about. So we want as many cartoonists as possible to take part in initiatives like this."
Gil Thorpe goes naked.
Let's see. Shoe, Arctic Circle, High and Lois not wearing pants tomorrow. Rhymes with Orange, Mallard Fillmore, Sally Forth.
Mm.
Sally Forth's not wearing pants tomorrow. Oh, Dear's Dennis the Menace. It's Dennis the Menace. Is his pal named Joey? Is that right? Mm. Was Dennis the Menace's best friend? It says No Pants Day, and there's like a banner taped over a pantsless Dennis and a pantsless Joey. This looks like the sort of comic strip Josh Duggar might enjoy. I don't know what's going on here. Dennis the Menace saying, "I hope Mr. Wilson knows about this." You want Mr.
Why you want to get a want to get a good look at him?
Joey, I'm going to share something with you. I've always wanted to get a glimpse at that Mr. Wilson without any pants. Last year, more than 70 comic strips and panels banded together to hide six symbols in their artwork to honor the workers on the front lines of the pandemic. So that's, I mean, it's cool that they're doing this, but it just seems like
there could be other causes.
To have Blondie not wearing pants, I think I might.
Nancy's aunt.
I think I might stop and pick up a newspaper on my way into work tomorrow. Just to see how they pull that off. It's going to be Dagwood wearing boxer shorts, right? And Blondie going, this husband of mine sure is an idiot. He likes to eat sandwiches, huh?
Number two.
Tell me if this makes any sense to you. A guy who lost his leg in a shark attack. This is an Australian. Almost was killed when a great white shark tried to eat him. He has won the right to keep a shark tooth that the animal left wedged in his surfboard. They said you can't keep the shark tooth. The shark took his leg. This cat was in a coma for 10 days when he was attacked in South Australia back in 2015. The shark's tooth was embedded in his surfboard, but the state rules down there ban people from possessing parts of protected species.
Uh-huh.
Right, like you can't own here, you can't in the States, you can't own an eagle feather, right? Isn't that a law? Unless it's, there's like rules about feathers,
I think. Sure there are.
Right. And that makes sense because you don't want people, killing animals to have trinkets. But the state there in Australia, South Australia, they have granted this guy, he's a surfer named Chris Blows.
That had to be fun.
They've granted him a special exception to the law.
Uh-huh.
He says he is keeping the shark tooth as a souvenir. He's 32 years old now, but he was surfing back in April of 2015 when an 18-foot great white shark struck him from behind. He says it shook me about and played with me for a bit, and it ended up pulling my leg off. After being brought to shore by two of his buddies, he was treated by paramedics. They took him to the hospital. He says, my heart completely stopped and they had to administer CPR until I showed any signs of life. When the cops went to go get his surfboard, they found a shark tooth was lodged in it.
Mm-hmm.
Following South Australia law, they handed the shark tooth to the authorities. He says, from that day, I wasn't allowed to even see the tooth.
Don't even look at it.
Because under the state's Fisheries Management Act, it's illegal to possess, sell, or purchase any part of a great white shark. And if you are in breach of that law, you can face a fine of up to $100,000 or 2 years in prison. He says he asked several times officials if he could have that tooth returned. Can I please get that tooth back? And they said, no, it's illegal. Then he went to a local politician who was able to get an exemption to the case made. It was stuck in the surfboard. He says, I would never kill a shark for its tooth. But it took my leg, so I can't see any reason why I can't have that. The shark isn't getting its tooth back, and I'm not getting my leg back, he says. Yes, of course.
All right, now we're concentrating on the fact that this guy lost his leg.
Yes, that's but something to concentrate
not
on.
Let's not forget that a shark lost a tooth.
Right, but the problem is, Darren, we only have two legs.
Yeah, I've got more teeth than legs. I get it.
You know how many teeth a great white shark has? They lose teeth all the time. That's not that big of a deal.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
We don't. We don't grow teeth back.
Well, we don't have rows of teeth either, like they do.
You don't know that.
That's, you think there are people that have a... But yeah, the great white shark is a protected species.
Sure.
And shark teeth can only be obtained from sharks that have been captured. So if you want a great white shark tooth, it has to come from an old collection. In one life...
Well, how else would you get a shark tooth?
In one life, how many teeth do you think a great white shark can go through? In the over the course of their lives, how many teeth do you think they go through?
How many sets?
How many teeth? Individual teeth.
69.
Okay, that's a solid guess given our longstanding bit. But the answer is that a great white shark can go through 20,000 teeth in one life. 20,000.
What if we were constantly losing teeth like that and growing them back?
It would drive me nuts.
It would be something else, wouldn't it?
If you went through 20,000 teeth, that would be like once a week.
Yeah, if you would constantly be constantly losing teeth.
That's
everyone would always have a tooth missing and one coming in.
You have 32 teeth in your mouth right now, assuming that you have all of your teeth.
Yeah, and if I lose one, that's it.
Uh-huh. You get 20 teeth when you're a baby, and then you lose those 20 teeth, and then you get 32 permanent teeth. So you lose 20, maybe you lose 22, I don't know. Maybe you have a couple teeth fall out at some point, but... Even losing 20 teeth, I feel like that was too much. That was a lot of teeth to have fall out of my head.
Every picture that you get taken of you, odds are there's a tooth missing. There'd never be a time when you didn't have a tooth missing.
Gary, I'd ask why your face is swollen, but I think I know. Are you losing another tooth?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all are, Gary. Get in line.
I'm teething right now.
And how old are you?
Yeah, I can see
still
that,
teething.
I can see that you're kind of blowing bubbles there, aren't you?
No, we're going to keep the tooth, but you can't have it. No, I want that tooth. That helped, you know. He says this will be a good souvenir to show his grandchildren.
Just show him your missing leg.
Yeah, that's a pretty good souvenir, too. You want to know why Grandpa walks around with his metal leg? On account of how I was out playing in the water, and a shark came in, 18-foot great white came and threw me about. I was in a coma for 10 days. Honestly, if Granddad's telling stories, I think I'd rather look at the fake leg, the prosthetic leg, than a shark tooth. That's much more boss. But
we've heard the story, Grandpa.
Did I ever tell you, kids?
Yes, yes. Yes.
I was out in
yes.
the... Yes. You've already
you
heard this
us.
One?
Yes.
I just remembered a new detail. Did I tell you I was in a coma?
Yes.
Oh, really? Well, I've got this shark tooth. You want to look at it again?
No.
Hey, I fought hard for this shark tooth. It took me 6 years to get it. Look at that. That is... You know what this is? It's a great white shark tooth. Did I ever tell you about the time...
Yes.
Number three.
Story of a woman who's asking if it's okay. She's having a birthday party for her husband. And she's asking people online, would it be okay if I asked people to pay to come to the birthday party for my husband?
What? There's a cover?
She says... He's asked me to plan something as a surprise.
Oh, God.
I have some ideas for activities, but the cost is $50 per person. Like $48 per person is what she figures.
Guess whose party I'm not going to?
Surprise, I'm not going.
Surprise, I'm not here. Surprise, no one showed up. That's not bad. He wants a surprise.
You should have seen the look on your face when you walked in the room and there was nobody there.
It was the best.
No one's going to pay
$50.
When I used to sell beer for a living, and I would go to tasting events. Tasting events are a lot of fun for the first hour or so, but the second and especially the third hour are brutal because everybody's tuned. And the reason you're there representing your brewery is you want to make impressions. You want to educate people about the beer. But people don't want to hear the pitch when they're 2.5 hours into a beer tasting.
Of course not.
So they just throw the glass at you and they'll say, "Surprise me," which drives me nuts. Two things don't say ever if you're at like a brouhaha or a brewed live. Don't hand the glass and say, "Dealer's choice," or "Surprise me."
Chef's whim.
Oh, it drives me crazy. And what I always wanted to do and never had the courage to do, I wanted to just keep a bucket of sand and then just pour sand in the glass and say, "You're surprised, aren't you?" I never had the stones to do it.
Or the sand.
Or the sand. He asked me to plan something as a surprise.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Ideas for activities, but the cost is roughly like $48 per person. And this woman is wondering whether it's reasonable to ask everyone to pay roughly $48 to be part of the big day.
The answer is no.
She says, "Is it okay to invite people and tell them they have to pay for themselves, or should I pay for everyone? I want to invite 10 people."
Okay, well then, so you don't want to cough up $500. He's not worth it. Okay.
One person says, "I think this is fine. Just make sure you tell people so they can budget for the party."
Or not come.
If you got invited to a birthday party and said, "We're going to need you pay $50 to come to the party," are you out of your mind? But now, wait a minute. Would the $50 cover food and drink for the entire night? Someone else here says, "Generally speaking, I think it's better to do what you can afford rather than asking people to pay. Aside from a pay bar at a party or something." Yeah, if you have a party for someone at a bar, the expectation is they're going to buy their own drinks. Everybody knows how that works. Here's another. "I think it's completely fine to ask people to pay if it's an activity. I'd be happy with that for a friend's birthday." We're doing activities? What are we, stepbrothers here? Few people saying the idea of charging a cover for a birthday party depends on the circumstances. Quote, "I think it depends. If it's a party and you want them to cover food and drink, that's a bit off. However, I got a text from a friend, and it's their husband's birthday, and I thought we could all go paintballing." Yeah, okay, so if you're going paintballing, you would expect people to pay for the paintball.
Are you going to have a musical act? Is Difford and Tilbrook going to be in your living room?
That's not bad.
Okay, at that point, I may be considerate.
You can't invite people to a party and expect them to pay. You're not throwing a party anymore. She is planning, she says, to book an activity for her husband's big day. She says, "I should have been clear in my title. It is an activity. I'm not thinking of charging entry to my house for a party." Okay, but what's the activity? She doesn't say. $48 a person to come to the party. Also, it's weird that the husband asked for a surprise party. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's unsettling. Make it a surprise. Just don't throw a party and say, "Are you surprised? Did you think I was throwing you a party?"
After the age of 10, you really need to get over it.
Right? What's the activity? "We're going to pin the tail on a donkey." Not a real donkey. That would be cruel. But listen, this donkey thing at Party City wasn't cheap. I need everybody to pitch in.
Number four.
There was a bit on the old Sesame Street show. Maybe they still do this. I haven't watched Sesame Street in quite some time. But there was a bit where they would say, "One of these things is not like the other."
Uh-huh.
"One of these things just doesn't belong." Three stories here that are similar enough. At least they start out similar enough. And I want to see if you, dear listener, can figure out what the difference is in these stories, okay? We begin in southern Illinois, where a man caught a grenade while magnet fishing. This is actually in Kentucky, southern Illinois, Kentucky. It's in McCracken County.
The McCracken family.
The McCracken County.
Meet my brother Phil.
Guy catches a grenade while magnet fishing off the Clarks River Bridge on Monday.
That's the risk, isn't it?
McCracken County Sheriff's deputies responded to the Clarks River Bridge at 4:15 in the afternoon on Monday over a report that a grenade had been found. Sean Doherty was magnet fishing off the bridge when he felt something and pulled up his line.
What was he hoping to catch?
Steelhead trout. I don't know. How do magnets work anyway?
Oh, is Iron Man down there?
I was fixing to get myself an Iron Man suit. And that's all it is. Ruckus with this grenade and all this.
So he reels it up?
Yeah. He pulls up the line and discovers a grenade on the magnet. The Paducah Police Bomb Squad is called to the scene.
Oh, I bet that's quite a troop.
The squad used their robot to retrieve the grenade and put it in an explosive storage container. The grenade was then safely disposed of. They say there is no reason to believe that anyone in the community is any danger, and no foul play is expected here. But
everybody in Paducah knew exactly when it was taken care of.
The bridge was closed for 4 hours to safely secure the scene and remove the device. We have talked about this before. There's no more thrilling day than when you get to bring out the bomb squad robot.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you remember the live cut-in we had? How many years ago was that?
Well,
On the Arsenal Bridge?
Right. They got to bring the bomb robot out.
Bomb robot. Uh-huh. We all got to watch it on live TV.
I got this. Let me do this. Why was I programmed to love? So guy catches a grenade. Now, I don't know if that's somebody who just thought, I got to get rid of this grenade. Maybe the river's the safest place to do that. Because it's not like some maniac's going to go after it with a magnet. That won't become a thing.
I'm going to blow up the river.
Oh, I was hoping to get maybe Iron Man suit or something like that. I don't know. That's the thing about magnet fishing. You put your magnet in, you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know this, though. Going to be made out of metal, that's for sure. That's what they tell you. That's day one of magnet fishing. They teach you, whatever you catch, know this, it's going to be made out of metal. That could be an Iron Man suit. Could be golden bars. We don't know until you put that magnet in. You just don't know. Meanwhile, in Barnhart, Missouri, a woman gardening in her backyard made a rather explosive discovery on Saturday. It was a World War II-era Japanese mortar.
I thought you were going to say Japanese soldier.
I surrender already.
I'm 99.
Yes, few people know, in addition to Pearl Harbor, the Japanese launched a sneak attack in Barnhart, Missouri.
I've been living in your garden since 1946.
Pamela Coffey says she was working on her grapevines when she noticed that something was out of place. The item was small and caked with dirt, so she and her husband Sam took it inside their home to clean it up.
And that's when they discovered the soldier.
And you know what?
And now they've adopted him.
Hero's going to live with us.
That's his name.
Hero.
Hero.
Yeah. Pamela says it was a little bit larger than the palm of my hand. She was wearing her gardening gloves, and the object left rust on them. She began washing the item and then found Japanese lettering on it. She says, the next thing you know, I'm sitting at our dining room table, scraping on it with a steak knife, trying to clean it out.
Oh, boy. Not the best idea.
This could have ended very badly. Hilariously, but very badly. What could this be? And then Hero's like, I got you! Yelling from the shed. Hero, did you put this mortar here? Yeah, like 70 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Playing the long game. We're trying to figure out what the heck this thing is when from the kitchen, my wife yelled at me, stop, I think it might be a bomb.
I thought it was a damn bomb.
It was, though. It was a bomb. They used Google Lens, which is an image recognition app. And that's when everything they found out, all at once, they found out that it was a World War II Japanese Navy mortar. I looked it up online and what to do with it, and I called the police. The wife says to her husband, Sam, she says, Pamela says to Sam, she says, get that thing outside.
Put it in the neighbor's yard.
And that's when she says here, quote, chaos ensued. They called the authorities, the Jefferson County Sheriff's deputies, agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. Even the Air Force responded to their house and stayed for several hours. Authorities blocked the roads, and they forced the coffees to remain in the back part of their house in case the mortar exploded. They gave this thing an X-ray, and it turns out this World War II Japanese Navy mortar was in fact live.
It was active, huh?
It wasn't just the shell. It was live. They confirmed it with the X-ray.
Now she reconsiders scratching it with a steak knife.
The St. Louis Regional Bomb and Arson Unit removed the mortar from the property. Pamela says that they told her it has a 500-foot blast range.
Oh, yeah.
And once again, a bomb robot was called. It moved the mortar into a truck.
So that means...
So it could be taken to Scott Air Force Base.
So that means your body parts would have flown at least a couple football fields.
Good Lord. Pamela Coffee writing on Facebook here, they said this was a super rare find and we're lucky we found it before we started excavating. All is well and we're finally ready to leave our house. We're finally allowed to leave our house again. Now, how in the world does a mortar wind up thousands of miles away from where the Japanese were fighting during World War II? The Coffee speculate that the previous owners of the property may have used that area as a junkyard. They say now that they're going to buy a metal detector before they do any more work in the backyard. Sam says, I'm incredibly grateful to be able to stand here and tell the story with all of my limbs still attached. It was the, I guess it was the husband that was scraping with the steak knife.
Stop!
Yeah, it was the husband who was, going after with the steak knife when the wife said, knock it off. He says, this is why women live longer than men, because here I am scraping a bomb with a steak knife. When my wife stopped me and called the sheriff's department. I'm very grateful to my wife right now. I do have life insurance, though, he says. So, quote, I guess she's kind of missing out. So those are the two stories from the American Midwest. Then there's this story from Bavaria, where it would make sense that they would find munitions in Germany, right? This is in southern Bavaria, close to the border with Austria and the Czech Republic. They're still finding all kinds of munitions over in Europe, which again makes a lot more sense than Kentucky or Missouri. There are still European bomb disposal squads, and they've been working in Germany on cleaning up munitions since VE Day in 1945. There was a jogger who was out for a run in the forest in Passau in Bavaria, Germany. When the jogger was out for a run, sees a suspected World War II hand grenade that had been abandoned in a plastic bag. This part of Bavaria is, it says, equidistant here from Munich, Vienna, and Prague. So it was an area that saw a lot of battles during World War II. Bomb squad rushes to the scene. And they know what to do. Obviously, they've got experience with this sort of thing. They understand what the World War II grenades are capable of. They cordon off the area, and they approach the plastic bag with all due caution. Upon inspection, the team was relieved to find out that it was not, in fact, an abandoned grenade dating from World War II. It was an adult toy.
Stop scraping it with a steak knife.
Don't go after that with a knife either. Yeah, the police say, that, quote, an internet search confirmed our suspicion that there are actually sex toys in the form of hand grenades. This hand grenade was made out of rubber. So So, you know, dodged a bullet there. Or a rubber butt grenade. You don't know. I think I'd rather find a bomb.
Little Japanese soldier was sitting on it.
How did I end up here? Hero, what are you doing?
Talk me out of it. No.
Five.
Number five.
As we are able now to hang out more and more, as it's safer and safer to do so, you're going to find that it takes a little bit of getting used to interacting with people in person as opposed to just doing it over a Zoom call or a text message. And the thing is, the dynamics between different people are always complicated, whether you're talking about coworkers or strangers or family members. Oftentimes, family members are the hardest ones to communicate with. And you might have an occasion to wonder, as you're interacting with all of these people, did I do something wrong? Am I being a jerk for the way that I acted? Now, you could ask a friend or a coworker for their opinion, but you may not like what you hear.
So or then, they just might be nice and
right.
not give you the accurate opinion.
Right. So there's this subreddit where people will ask, hey, am I being a jerk here? That's not the name of the subreddit. I can't say the name of the subreddit, but it's not too hard to figure out what the subreddit is. People wondering if they're in the wrong. I have a couple of these I want to run past you, Darren, and get your opinion. This one sounds familiar to me. It says, am I the jerk here for letting my brother sleep after he said he wanted me to wake him up? My brother came up to me and asked me to set a 30-minute timer and then to wake him up when it went off, or he would get a zero on a class that he had.
How about you set a 30-minute timer?
When the timer went off, I went to wake him up. And he said, no, I'm not doing classwork. I just wanted to watch a soccer game, and I've changed my mind, so let me sleep.
Okay, well then, there you go.
An hour later, he wakes up in a terrible mood, asking why I didn't wake him up. And I told him, well, you told me you didn't want to wake up. And he said, you should have waited until I was in a clear state of thinking.
No, that's not what I'm going to do.
I had a roommate.
What are you, a baby?
I had a roommate that did this all the time.
Yeah?
And he would say, like... no matter what.
Whatever I say.
I have got to be up for class at 8 o'clock. And I'd say, all right, but you're difficult. Mm-hmm. I understand I'm difficult. You cannot, under any circumstances, let me sleep in. And then I would...
your alarm clock.
I was happy to do it because it was a riot.
Yeah.
And I would say, all right, Dana, you said you wanted to wake up at 8. No. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't need to wake up till like 10. I was wrong. And I'd say, but you made me promise that I wouldn't let you stay in bed. No. I misspoke.
Who does these sort of things?
Oh, he did it all the time. It was the greatest. And then he'd be furious at me. He'd wake up furious like, I told you I needed to be up at 8. Like, yeah, but you also said that you didn't. Right, but I told you that when I was still sleeping. Like, no, that's not how it works. So yeah... the job was to wake him up. You woke him up. He didn't get out of bed is his decision.
Clearly.
He's the jerk, not you.
Whatever I do, whatever I say, don't let me be a White Sox fan again.
See? It's the same thing. I know.
Whatever. I won't do it.
It's very much Gene
Wilder. I'm done with the Bears.
Gene Wilder being locked in the room
with the monster.
Frankenstein's monster. How about this? Am I the jerk for telling my sister she needs to reconsider her baby name? My 22-year-old sister is 8 months pregnant with a baby boy.
Okay, so the boy has not been the baby has not been named.
No. 8 months pregnant. She's 22.
We're getting there.
8 months pregnant with a baby boy. The whole family is super excited for her, and we cannot wait to meet her son. Her boyfriend freaked out and left when she told him the baby name.
If it's that bad that the... boy, that's a guy looking for any excuse to get out of this situation.
I misread this.
Okay.
The boyfriend freaked out when she said she was pregnant. It's not about the baby's name.
Okay. But he left.
He did leave.
Okay.
So she's on her own. And she came to all the other siblings asking for baby name suggestions.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, that happens. Thank God it happens, because the name my parents wanted for me, thank God I had an aunt that stepped in and said, no, name the kid David. You don't go with
Well, don't leave us hanging.
It turns into a big, you mean me?
Yeah.
Oh, they wanted to name me Frederick.
Oh, okay.
I would have been Frederick George Lavora III.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got my ass kicked enough growing up with David. I can't imagine.
That would come with like a sword.
Oh, yeah, and an attractive land and a family crest. It would have been nice. No, thanks. I'm really glad that my...
You would have lived in a castle.
No, I wouldn't have. It would not have ended well. Every time we tell this story, my wife points out that she never would have married me with a ridiculous name like that. And I'm like,
she wouldn't call you Freddy?
No, it wouldn't have happened. I'm telling you, it wouldn't have happened.
Ready, Freddy?
She doesn't joke about it. And I don't either. Dodged a big
bullet
there.
There's two things she doesn't joke about.
Mm-hmm.
Spiders and your name.
There it is.
What could have been your name?
So the sister's asking us for baby suggestions. Uh-huh. It turns into a big event because she is the first sibling in our family to have a kid. And we have all given her an ungodly large amount of name suggestions. So she decided on a name and wanted to do a video call with us all to announce it. And the name she picked for her baby boy is...
Yeah?
Lucifer.
Oh. Does she know what that means?
The whole call was silent for like a few minutes. And then one of my brothers asked her...
I want to be your devil baby.
The whole call was silent for like a full minute, and then one of my brothers asked if that was a joke. She got mad and left the call. I texted her and apologized for how we all took the baby's name,
mm-hmm.
but said, you know, maybe consider how the name Lucifer could affect your son's life. She got very angry and said she thought I would understand because we're both huge fans of the show Supernatural. I agreed that I did love the show and loved that she wanted her to name her son after one of the characters, but I just didn't know about naming a baby Lucifer. She said it was her decision, and we were just being negative people, and we were mad that she didn't pick one of the names that we suggested, and she has not talked to any of us since. I feel bad for not telling her it may not be a good name, because she's right, it is her son and her decision. So am I being the jerk here?
Well, I think you know the answer. Of course not.
That's a terrible name for a baby, right? Although, you know, Lucifer was an angel, right? I mean, obviously.
Then go with that. Then explain that to everyone. A fallen angel.
Well, right. I think the name means light bringer. So, you know. Yeah, I don't think that's the best idea. How about this? Am I the jerk for not letting my car dealer fix the broke GPS in my car? The finance guy from the car dealership where I picked up my car a month ago just called
mm-hmm.
and said that my GPS tracker wasn't working properly. He said they ping it once in a while just to test the battery and mine needed to get replaced. Here's the thing. My car doesn't have navigation and I was not aware that it even had a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
I told him no thanks and don't contact me ever again. I had my friend who's a mechanic remove the GPS in my car.
Hmm.
I reread the contract and there's nothing mentioned in the contract about a GPS. I think this is messed up. Well, they contacted me 3 more times and I've hung up every time saying stop calling me. Well, they showed up. The dealership showed up, visited me in person.
Wow.
And I slammed the door in their face and I told them I'd call the cops if they came back. Am I being a jerk here?
So what's the problem here? Is they think they're being tracked?
There's a GPS tracker on the car, but they don't have navigation. There's no reason for there to be a GPS tracker on the car. The dealership is dead set on you bringing it back so that they can put a new battery in the GPS, but they don't want it. Right. So
why are they coming to his house?
Because he's not getting his appointment to get the GPS fixed.
Well, it's kind of his decision.
The GPS is, they can put that on a car in case you skip out on payments or take the car out of state. They can repossess the car.
Okay, well, then that's the reason.
But they're supposed to let you know about that. And if there's a GPS on the car, you're supposed to get like a better loan rate. I guess it's a thing that some dealerships do. I wasn't aware of this. It's very common for car dealerships to have tracking devices in their cars. That's in case you don't pay, right? So if you're somebody who has removed the GPS that's there,
they're going to be
because they think
of
you might be a flight risk. That's why they're showing up to the house.
Yeah.
But to ping it to make sure that it's working, I don't know. I guess I wasn't aware that was something that they do, but that's something that they do.
Glad my car is paid for.
Finally, it wouldn't be one of these "Am I the Jerk Here" is without a family wedding being the source of such angst.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the jerk for refusing to go to my brother's wedding if my son can't go? Now, this is different from what we've normally done.
The no kids thing.
This is not a wedding where no children are invited.
Just that kid.
Specifically, this 5-year-old is not allowed.
It's a terror.
Just this one.
Yeah.
Some backstory. My brother's soon-to-be wife, Tara, went to the same high school as me. She was a grade below me, but we all knew each other. I'm 27, and I have a 5-year-old son with an ex-girlfriend who also went to school with us.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-girlfriend and my brother's girlfriend hated each other. They were on the same drill team, and I don't know, maybe they were jealous of each other. It was some old BS, petty high school rivalry stuff. Well, I guess it got bad because they were both crushing on the same guy, and he got with my ex after he rejected Tara. Anyway, I got with my ex in college. It was a brief thing. We broke up right before my son Jason was born. He's with me full time, and my ex is in the picture sometimes, but not that much. I found out over a year ago that my brother was in a relationship with Tara. Now they're engaged, and they're getting married in November. I haven't been around Tara that much because I'm busy with my own life. When invitations were sent out, my brother called me, and he said Tara did not like my son Jason being there at the wedding. They have never met before.
Okay, so she doesn't know that this kid is a problem.
No, but she knows that he's the son of my ex-girlfriend, who was, again, a rival of hers in high school. She doesn't like the idea of her sworn enemy's son being at her wedding. I didn't think he was serious because that was years ago and we're, adults now.
Mm-hmm.
And my ex isn't even in our lives, so it's not like she's coming to the wedding.
Right.
I kind of got mad at my brother that he'd be cool with his own nephew not being at his wedding. All of my other siblings are bringing their kids. My brother pleaded with me, please go along with this, because it's what she wants, and I want her to be happy on her special day. I said, you know what?
She's a nightmare.
I said, you know what? Fine. But if my son's not allowed at the wedding, then I'm not going either. And now my brother's mad at me for turning this into a big deal because he wants his family there. But he's caught between a rock and a hard place. My parents agree that she is being ridiculous and they're berating my brother. My other siblings think I should have just agreed and not turned this into a whole bigger drama. So I'm on the fence how I handle this here. If it was a no kids wedding, then I would get that, and yeah, it's their special day. But my son, my 5-year-old, is the only one not allowed to be there. And I don't feel right with excluding him over something that was 10 years ago, something childish that was 10 years ago. So am I being the jerk here?
Go find something to do with your son on that day.
Right.
You know. Sorry, bro.
I have never...
And there's not going to be a wedding gift.
No!
Don't think that that's going to happen.
My wedding gift would be a photo album, pictures of my kid.
Uh-huh.
Here's the nephew. In all of the crazy family drama with weddings that we've dealt with since we've started doing this segment, never, ever heard of a no-kids wedding that's just specifically...
For one kid!
One kid you've never met!
Yeah. I don't like his pedigree.
It's not like this is a kid who burnt down the family cabin or something.
Always is burning down the family cabin.
Right. Not a little fire starter.
He bites dogs and cats.
And I could see saying, don't bring Lucifer to the wedding.
Yeah.
I could see that. No, you're not the jerk here. And this this woman that your brother's marrying is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't see that
best
now,
of luck, yeah.
Sheesh.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was the podcast. Those were our top five things. Thanks for listening, downloading, subscribing, leaving reviews. All of those things very much appreciated.
The podcast was brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. The frequently asked questions are answered if you go to their website. That is ntillinois.com.
Till we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hasta la vista, suckers.